760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey, but truly, you give us that joy back exponentially. I'm Josh Harris, joined by Allison DeLulem.
Good morning.
The Quest Studios in Atlanta, and we are so blessed to have you with us today. Why don't we take those blessings to a new level? Because I think Allison has a prayer prepared for us.
I sure do. With school coming to an end, with kids graduating, with traveling coming up, I have a prayer for peace in our hearts during this time of many things happening. So let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, together we come before you seeking the peace that only you can give. In the midst of our worries, our struggles, and our uncertainties, we ask you to calm our minds and still our hearts. You have told us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That's John 14:27. Help us to hold on to that promise. Free us from fear, heal our anxious thoughts, and fill us with the quiet strength of your presence. Unite our hearts in trust and guide us with your love. Let your peace reign within us so that we may be instruments of peace to others through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got a little message this morning, and this goes especially to Allison, but all the wonderful women out there that bring the best out of the people who are around them. So I had the privilege of going to the Knights of Columbus convention with Allison, and this is amazing. Just action-packed with some heroic souls from the Georgia area, Knights of Columbus, guys doing amazing things. It's in Jekyll Island. And you never know when a plot twist may happen. So, forgot my razor. Big surprise there. So, I ask the hotel if they have any extra razors. Now, I mean, let me just warn all the guys out there. If you ever ask for a hotel razor, just be warned, you are shaving with a machete, okay? This felt like a prison razor, perhaps. I'm not sure. But So I get this razor. Maybe it was just my technique. I'll say that. But I show up out of this, out of the bathroom, and I essentially look like I had gotten into a knife fight or something. And so, typically you might have a little bit of time to let's just say bandage things up, look a little bit better, but we had to go right to the event. So I'm in my suit and my tie, looking like I've escaped from federal penitentiary or something. And some people are looking at me a little suspect when I got into the convention, face is a little swollen. Now, here comes Allison with the feminine genius. She says, I'm going back to the hotel and I'm getting some aloe for your face. And she goes back there, she gets the lotion, she makes it, you put it on my face. Let me tell you, it really cooked for a minute. But I came back and I was like a new person out of that bathroom. I mean, oh my goodness, did you give me a major makeover? So, maybe this is a reminder that, God's love certainly comes in unexpected forms. Like Allison getting that, lotion bottle and, to remedy my suffering. That was a good Samaritan moment, Allison. Thank you very much for, making me present my best self in a time I needed it the most.
My pleasure. There is no way I was going to let you go in like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad. It looked painful.
Yeah, exactly. I had looked like a Knight of Columbus who had seen a little too much action on the battlefield, So this was, this is great. And, I think that's what we're called to do. And I think certainly, like, when I think about my mother, there's really this sense of other-mindedness.
Oh, yes.
Right? I mean,
All the time.
It really is this sacrificial perspective. What do I say? I've heard that phrase, a mom is only as happy as her unhappiest son. Mm-hmm. And there is something I see that in my mom all the time where, she's just, it's like a mentor of mine says, Josh, when I think about myself, I get depressed. When I think about others, I feel you know, peace, joy. And I think moms are just consistently thinking about others.
Well, it's true. And, you know, and it's a servant's heart.
Yeah.
I mean, once you're a mom, and even if you're not a mom, I mean, we're called to serve many of the times that we have conversations in here, scripture verses, scripture readings. It's all about serving, right? Mm-hmm. So just being aware of those that are in need and stepping in and helping out.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much for helping me not get thrown out of that convention, Allison, for looking like I was crashing the party. Truly grateful.
My pleasure.
For that. And speaking of my pleasure, we are pleased to present a really great show for you guys today. Awesome, awesome lineup. We have our dear friend, Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior, who is unpacking today's gospel reading for us. It's going to be fantastic. Now, our buddy Chuck Persner is going to help us get acquainted with St. Christopher Magellanus, priest and companions. Really, really cool stuff there. Remember that scripture verse for the week, people. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, so you should love one another. That's John 13:34. Closing us out, we have the Newlands. Maureen and Doug Newland, parishioners at All Saints in Dunwoody, speaking about the upcoming virtual marriage encounter taking place on June 6th and 7th. But next, our dear friend Jesse Fear, and parishioner of St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock and founder of Real Life on a Budget, will be talking about overcoming financial stress with practical coping strategies.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Jesse Fearon, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock and founder of Jesse Fearon Real Life on a Budget, is back, and she is going to be talking to us today about overcoming financial stress and practical ways of coping with this. So welcome back, Jesse.
Thank you for having me.
We are so glad to have you. And many people feel overwhelmed when looking at their finances. Many people are navigating the strain of job losses or increased cost of living expenses, other financial stressors. What's the first step people should take to regain control?
The first step is kind of the same step for almost everything in life, right? It's identifying what the actual issues are.
Yeah.
Sometimes with our finances, I think that, you know, and it's probably true in most things, that it's easier to look for that scapegoat. It's easier to say, you know, well, it's because I lost my job, or it's because the government is doing this, or it's because of the economy, or it's because of all these things outside my control. And yes, many things are going to be outside of our control. But ultimately, it's about practicing that virtue of responsibility and owning the part that we can control. You know, because yes, maybe we've lost our job, but what can we do financially to help repair that bridge? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we are having an increase in the cost of living expenses and we're struggling with our grocery budget. Okay, well, where else in the budget can we cut from in order mm-hmm. to make room to be able to have room to buy groceries? You know, and are we overspending? You know, if we have a lot of debt, is it the debt that's really the problem, or has it been that we've had a lack of control when it comes to spending our money? You know, and if we're constantly feeling this, you know, every time something happens, we're just sinking further and further into debt, is it because we don't have savings to fall back on? Do we not have that safety net? What is it that we need to be doing? What is the underlying issue that we need to address? And then how can we actually address that issue so we can make real progress?
Yeah. Wow, fantastic.
And you know, I love how you are bringing in the virtue of responsibility, Jesse, in our finances, and how that can help us identify and then own up to the issues that, you know, we're facing when times come and our finances are kind of strained. So do you have any next steps that someone can take once they've identified their issue?
The first step is budgeting. And I always like, I laugh when I say that because so many people roll their eyes the second that you say that because they think, okay, well, that works for certain people, but that doesn't work for me. But a budget is really just a plan, and there's no one size fits all. And so the best thing to do is kind of do like a financial audit and look over your last 30 days of transactions from all the accounts you spend money from and start just trying to identify, okay, well, what expenses are here? Which ones are important? Which ones can we eliminate? Which ones can we reduce? And, you know, a lot of times we will convince ourselves that certain expenses are super important when they really may not be super important. Or maybe they are needed, but maybe not in the way we think. Mm-hmm. So for instance, say your child needs new clothes because your child has, you know, as every parent knows, like your kid goes to bed at night being able to fit their clothes, and then they wake up in the morning and all of a sudden their pants are high waters.
Yes.
You know, so that happens to a lot of parents. I know that. And so let's say that that happens. Well, okay, yes, your child needs new clothes, but that doesn't mean they have to have brand new clothes or a certain name brand of clothes. Like, you can go to consignment sales. You can buy things on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's other resources out there. We can get scrappy with it and figure out, okay, what can we eliminate? What can we reduce? I can't tell you how many people I have coached, and in looking over their last 30 days of transactions, you know, they have several subscription charges, and they'll be like just $2.99 or $14.99, like these low amounts, but they're not realizing that over the course of a year, those are adding up to, you know, anywhere from $150 to even $600 a year that they're spending on things. And many of these subscriptions, they don't even remember having or don't even know what they are, or don't use them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's not a judgment against anyone, because I certainly have been guilty of it as well. It's just that proactive, like, let's take a look, let's figure out what's been going on, where can we cut? And then from here, let's start managing our money. Let's start paying attention. Okay, so now we know what it was. Now let's try to be aware. And for me, that is a conscious effort of, you know, having what I call a money minute every single day, just checking in. Okay, where did I spend my money today? What did I spend it on? Is this really a purchase that I should have been making? And the more we do this,
that's nice,
then what's going to happen is that when we're standing there getting ready to pay for something, we're going to be questioning, wait a minute, is this what was in the budget? Is this what I should be spending my money on?
Oh, I love that.
And it does. It just brings that awareness. And that's what really a budget is. It's that awareness and having that plan for your money.
Yeah, that's really a great way of making it organic and understandable and practical and applicable. And, you know, for many people, though, budgeting can certainly be a challenge when you've never done it before, right?
Yes.
So are there any mindset shifts that can help people feel less anxious about their financial situation when they've, you know, never worked on improving it, or they're just starting to try to improve it?
Absolutely. So I think that money management is really just about the habits we keep. And I think that's just true in life in general, whether, you know, you're trying to get fit or get healthy, it's about the habits you keep. If you're trying to, you know, your spiritual director will probably tell you the same thing. That's about the habits you keep. Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you praying? You know, what are your habits, right? Well, what are your money management habits? You know, and one of the things I've always said is that the habit counts more than the dollars and cents. So if you have, say, $5 extra this pay period, and you're looking at that like, oh, well, it's $5 extra, I can go hop in the Starbucks drive-thru and go get me some Starbucks. Or can you shift your mindset and ask yourself, well, what can I really do with this money? How can I make this money work for me? What are my current goals that I'm working on? Mm-hmm. Am I trying to pay off debt? Am I trying to save money? Like, what am I trying to do? Can I take this $5 and move it towards something to better my financial future, my family's financial future? And if you proactively, consistently do that every time you have extra money, whether it's $5 or $50, you will consistently do more with $5 than most people do with $50, because the habit truly does count more than the dollars and cents.
Jesse Fearon, thank you so much. Is there a place people should go to learn more about you and these awesome tips you have?
Yes. So my website, jessefearon.com, and I am on social media at Jesse Fearon, and you can get my books, Getting Good with Money and Faithful Finances, on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jesse Fearon. We are so grateful.
Thank you.
On the horizon, we have our friend Chuck Persner helping us get acquainted with St. Christopher Magellanus priest and companions, Maureen and Doug Newland, parishioners at All Saints in Dunwoody. Will be speaking about the upcoming virtual marriage encounter taking place on June 6th and 7th. You guys are really in for a treat. Our friend Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, will be unpacking today's gospel. Certainly a fan favorite.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160 The Quest. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Father Adam Blatt, pastor at Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, is back, and he is going to be reflecting on today's gospel. Welcome back, Father.
Thank you, guys. It's always good to be here. Today, we're going to continue with the Gospel of John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Amen. So this gospel passage today presents this beautiful image of Jesus as the true vine, and mm-hmm. his followers as the branches. This is, I think this is probably an image that is familiar with, well, all Christians, really, not just Catholics, but all of us. It's this vivid metaphor. The whole thing is a metaphor for the life of discipleship, and that's a life that is essentially entirely dependent on remaining connected to Christ in all things, no matter what. Because, you know, as he says, as he shows us, apart from him, we can do nothing, which mm-hmm. I'm sure you two can attest, but I can tell you, if it wasn't for God, I would not be where I'm at right now today.
Amen, that is Father. For sure. Amen, Father. I hear you.
Definitely could not be doing this without him.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is that when we abide in him, he shows us, he tells us how we begin to bear much fruit. That by remaining in him, remaining part of that vine, connected to him in all things, great things happen, you know, in us, through us, around us. But because of this, there's this, as any gardener will tell you, there's a pruning process. If you want your best vegetables and your best fruits and your best flowers, you got to start cutting away the things that take away from that. You know, a couple years ago, it was last year, I started to get into gardening. And my parents have been doing it for ages. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to do tomatoes. Because I thought that was easy, simple. And so I'm growing my tomatoes, and things are going fine. It's all good and whatnot. But my mom looks over one day, and she's over the house one day, and she says, you know, you got to tear all these little things off. And I said, what? They're going to be tomatoes one day. And she goes, no, these are something called suckers. Listen, I'm not a gardener, so if these words are wrong, or I'm sure people out there will correct me, but from what I understand, there's these little suckers that grow on tomato plants that basically suck the nutrients out of where it should be going. And so when you peel those off or pull those off your tomato plants, it helps to nurture and foster healthier tomatoes. And so that's basically a gardening metaphor for what Jesus is saying here, the pruning process, mm-hmm. you know? And so when we're abiding with him, when we're in him and we have all this good fruit bearing, it doesn't stop there. Just because good things are happening, you know, a lot of times people go, I'm with God, I'm one with God, I feel close to God, and yet things are still hard, things are still challenging, I'm still suffering this or that. Well, good. That means you're with God even closer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pruning process can be a way for God to shape us, to refine us, and it can be a struggle. It can be painful at times, you know, but the closer we get to God, maybe it's possible the heavier our cross gets.
Yeah.
Because the closer we get, the more he wants to shape us, to refine us, the more he wants to draw us closer to himself. And so the more things he has to kind of burn off or pluck out or tear off of us, get, you know, separate us from, to allow us to get even closer and closer and closer.
Mm.
You know, that pruning process with anything, it can be painful, but it's always done. Here's the thing we have to remember. That process of pruning us, of pruning ourselves, our lives, our souls, it's always done with the goal of greater fruitfulness.
Mm.
Like nobody goes out and tears up their tomato plants unless it's with the goal of having better tomatoes.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so that's the exact same thing, only replace tomatoes with our eternal soul. So this passage, I think in the end, this passage challenges us to examine, are we really rooted in Christ, or are we just going through the motions? Because if we're just going through the motions, then, I mean, what are we doing? We're wasting our time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really rooted in Christ, you want to invite that. You want to encourage. You want to, you know, look forward to that pruning process, you know, that process where he strengthens you, where he helps you to grow, where you bear more fruit. You know, it becomes this deeper promise that when we remain in him and his words remain in us, then our lives will always be the one to glorify the Father and to reflect the fullness of that calling, his calling to, as he says, to become his very disciples.
And I love how you're talking about this, Father, because sometimes it's easy to think that when things go wrong or the struggles mm-hmm. of life, Lord, what did I do? Why are you punishing me? When in reality, if we're faith-filled, if we love him and we trust in him, we're going to be pruned, like you said,
right,
to fine-tune everything and to help us bear the most fruit possible.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of like the...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Father.
I was just going to say, it's kind of like that... It's the book of Job. I can't quote the exact verse in Scripture, but, you know, I think it basically says, you know, we accept the good from God. Should we not also accept the bad?
Yes.
You know? because there's going to be good in that in the long run.
Amen.
Yeah, and St. John of the Cross has this quote, "The soul united to God and transformed in him draws from within God a divine breath, just as the branch united to the vine draws sap from it."
I love St. John of the Cross, by the way.
Yeah, this guy's cosmic, man. It's a reminder, too, Father, you shared just if you're uncomfortable, that's okay, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful message you gave us because a lot of times there's no growth in comfort, no comfort in growth, but you know, it's the pruning process that allows that refinement that will ultimately, God willing, allow us to bear more fruit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So there's a phrase in the Marines called embrace the struggle. They don't use the word struggle, but that's what we'll say here today. But it basically just means, you know, when things are hard, things are tough, that we embrace that struggle, we embrace those hardships, and we come together in fraternity to get through that. At least that's in the Marines, the military. But it's the same concept here. You know, you want to embrace that, as the gospel says here, embrace that pruning process that God continues to shape and to form you.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and it's just a reminder, like a lot of these phrases, we think they're cliche, but there are radical spiritual parallels to them. No pain, no gain. I mean, you think about that, and there is a direct correlation to the spiritual life. Jesus is pretty explicit about it here, but praise God, it's going to ultimately bear forth fruit. And I think about that gospel phrase, there's nobody who has given up mother, brother, you know, family, whatever. Yeah. Who will, this is the part I totally dismissed, and someone pointed it out to me. I didn't even think about it. Someone said, it says, they will not gain 100-fold in this life and the life to come. I just think about the life to come, but we forget that the blessings that he lavishes on us, even if we don't see all of them, are far more substantial than what we would have manufactured out of our own merit.
I think that passage is every priest's favorite passage.
You think so? Yeah, I bet. thank you. We're so grateful for you, Father Adam Blatt.
It's always good to be here, guys.
Yeah, you always set our hearts ablaze, and we're looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely.
Two prominent U.S. bishops are praising recent provisions in Congress aimed at protecting life and human dignity. The measures are part of the proposed One Big Beautiful Bill Act, a sweeping budget initiative backed by President Trump and currently under consideration in the House. Bishop Daniel Thomas and Bishop Robert Barron, chairs of key U.S. bishops' committees, voiced strong support for parts of the bill that would defund Planned Parenthood and block taxpayer funding for gender transition procedures for minors under Medicaid. This is their quote. For decades, Planned Parenthood has received government money and offered low-income women one terrible option to end the lives of their babies, the bishop said. Now, they use those funds to promote gender ideology and provide puberty blockers and home hormones to children. Americans should not be forced to subsidize abortions and gender transition services with their tax dollars, and we applaud measures that will finally help to defund Planned Parenthood. They urged lawmakers to redirect funding towards life-affirming care for mothers and children and emphasized that public funds should never support practices that harm human dignity. On the horizon, Marine and Doug Newland, parishioners of All Saints and Dunwoody, will be speaking about the upcoming virtual marriage encounter taking place June 6th and 7th. Remember our scripture verse for the week, John 13:34. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you should also love one another. But next, our friend Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Christopher Magellanus, priest and companions.
AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It is 8:30.
Who's on the docket today, Chucky?
Good morning, Josh. Well, today we're going to talk about the priest who would become a martyr And then a saint, Father Christopher Magellanus, who would be put to death without so much as a trial during what became known as the Cristero Uprising in Mexico, along with 21 other priests and three lay companions. We celebrate him and his 24 companions by way of an optional memorial every year on May the 21st. So imagine, if you will, Josh, a governor, any leader or any person for that matter, who is so ardently and diabolically anti-Catholic that he would go on to name his three sons Lenin, Satan, and Lucifer.
Wow, that is...
true story. Enter Garrido Canabal, the governor of Mexico's Tabasco state in the 1920s. Canabal was a political protege of the Mexican president and strongman Plutarco Calles, who, festering hatred for Catholicism, led him to become an atheist. Canabal was also a farmer who would go on to name one of his bulls God, a hog Pope, a cow, Mary, and a donkey, Christ. Again, more, a complete blasphemy. He ordered the removal and destruction of all crucifixes from public buildings, graveyards in the town of Tabasco. Foreign clergy were banned, as was the celebration of Holy Mass in some regions. So priests were killed for no other reason other than for being priests. It was a scorched earth attack, for lack of a better term, which had it as its long-term goal to eradicate the Catholic Church in Mexico. So here comes a quote for you. Long live Christ the King and the Virgin of Guadalupe. This was the rallying cry of this Cristero uprising, which simmered and smoldered over a 23-year span from about 1915 to 1937. Much like his adversary, Garrido Canabal, Christopher Magellanus grew up working the land as a farmer himself, supporting his family and their farm. And in response to a vocational calling, Magellanus entered the seminary and was ordained a priest in the year 1899. He served primarily as a chaplain and pastor assigned to the Huicholi Indians for many years. He would go on to erect a seminary in Totachi, which he and his companions suddenly found themselves secretly preaching and ministering to the faithful from as the nation's attitudes toward Catholicism began to quickly sour. And then on May 21st in the year 1927, things would, in fact, come to a head. Father Magellanus was on his way to celebrate the feast of the patron saint of impossible causes, St. Rita of Kasha, who we will talk about tomorrow. I understand we have a special surprise for that segment tomorrow.
Tasty surprise.
Looking forward to that one. And, you know, he's celebrating this feast in a small out-of-the-way village the following day, or at least that's what he was planning on. A shootout erupted between the Cristeros and Mexican federal forces near the outskirts of the village, culminated in the arrest of both Father Magellanus and his brother priest, Father Caloca. No accusations were levied against the priest, nor was any evidence even presented. There was no right of defense, since priests had no civil rights in Mexico at the time. As previously mentioned, no trial was held. And 4 days later, on May the 25th, in the same year, 1927, the two priests were led to the small courtyard of a municipal building to face their inevitable fate. It was here that Father Magellanus uttered his previously aforementioned famous last words, saying, "I am innocent and die innocent. I absolve with all my heart those who seek my death and ask God that my blood bring peace to a divided Mexico." So here we see him channeling Christ on the cross. The priests quickly absolved each other, exchanged a few words of comfort, and were then executed by way of a firing squad. Father Caloca's last words were, and I quote, "For God we lived, and for him we die." So all told, 25 martyrs are commemorated and celebrated today. All were diocesan priests, but for three laymen who died with their parish priests. They died in eight different Mexican states under circumstances eerily similar to both Father Magellanus and Caloca. And, you know, here's their story. And we know that... blood of the martyrs, seed of the faith. We know that because today Mexico enjoys one of the most vibrant Catholic cultures in the entire world. You know, thick with devotions, processions, masses, feast day celebrations, religious song. Clearly, their martyrdom yielded abundant fruit and won them countless souls for Christ. And, you know, throughout the course of time, we see that the witness of the martyrs has the power to change hearts. And here we see it again. If the righteous seek only to change the outward structure of cultures and laws, institutions, or systems, their efforts will ultimately be undone. You have to win the heart. And we see here today with these men, these 25 martyrs, spearheaded by St. Christopher Magellanus and, again, his martyred companions, we see that in action.
Isn't it so interesting that this is the story of Christianity? When the faith looks like it's on the ropes, that's when the greatest comeback is in the process. So we think about, obviously, Good Friday, all seems lost, here comes Jesus resurrected. I think about Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico. It looked like the faith was really taking a downward turn.
Oh, yeah.
And then Our Lady appears to Juan Diego, and all of a sudden, 9 million conversions happen, something outstanding. And here we see a Hispanic priest who is following the call amidst tremendous persecution. And he continues preaching and celebrating the sacraments in secret during the Mexican government's violent crackdown on the church. He helped organize a clandestine seminary for displaced seminarians and encourage others to remain loyal to Christ and the Pope. It's so inspiring to see that this person is staying faithful to the church when it's the least popular thing to do.
Yes. Yeah, certainly is. And again, with him, as we see with all the saints, they were put on this earth by God at a very specific time in history for a very specific purpose, not to hide. Like you said, Josh, he didn't hide. He didn't bemoan the unfairness of his fate, but to lay that groundwork for Catholicism to reemerge. That's really what we're looking for here, because, you know, Christianity and Catholicism specifically had gone in and out of favor in Mexico, very much on the ropes, as you said, during the time of the leadership that St. Christopher Magellanus went head-to-head with. But Catholicism would reemerge and once again thrive and flourish in Mexico as it does today, and in fact to grow even greater.
Speaking of growing into something greater, that sort of ties in with this very, very moving quote. I am happy to suffer for such a cause. I am dying for God, and God will receive me. And in God, I trust that my blood will fall on the ground, not in vain, but will grow into flowers of peace and liberty.
Yeah, there you go. And their death came so swiftly, so unjustly, not even a trial, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think of the quote of St. Irenaeus, once again, the business of a Christian is nothing else than to ever be preparing for death. And in the case of St. Christopher Magellanus and his 24 companions, I think they knew what their fate would be. Ultimately, you will be caught. Someone will give you up. You'll be found. But they knew they were fighting for something that would last long beyond them. And they echo throughout eternity because of their braveness and their love of Christ.
Yeah. And this quote, too, just punctures to the heart. I am a priest and I'm doing only my duty. I believe in God and his kingdom. And for that, I'm ready to give my life. In some way, we are all called to embrace that quote. It may be small deaths, but ultimately, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in that incredible title, we invite him to transform our own lives. We're walking in this path and through lots of small deaths down the narrow path. So just a real inspiring example of the tremendous and eternal legacy we leave behind when we say yes to God, because we never know what is on the other end of that agreement. But it's a far, far, far more eternal legacy than we could ever leave on our own.
Yeah. And you know, as you read some of his quotes and you read his bio, by no means did he consider himself a hero, even though he was. And you know, to your point, you just never know when you offer that yes. Jesus never says it's going to be easy, only that it's going to be worth it.
Amen.
St. Christopher Magellanus and companions,
pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Well, we got some exciting stuff on the horizon for you wonderful friends who are getting excited about Memorial Day. We have a star-studded lineup, or should I say star-spangled lineup.
That's beautiful, Josh.
Yeah, heading your way very soon. Thursday, Friday, and Monday, we've got some very, very special guests on the way. We've got our dear friend, Father Colin Patrick, priest at St. Bridget. He's also an army chaplain, getting set to serve some of our finest in the army when his three-year tenure is up here with our diocese. He's going to be talking about how we can fully enter into Memorial Day, and also talked about one of his favorite, we have our Get Acquainted with the Sainted segment. Now, this guy's not currently a saint, but he talks about one of his favorite heroes of the faith, Father Father Wieland, who was a Catholic priest and military chaplain during the Confederate Army in the Civil War, and he was based in Savannah. Anyway, one thing I won't give too much away, but this guy was a prisoner of war for the Confederates and the Unions.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Imprisoned by both the Union and Confederate sides during the war, and a very rare occurrence, but used that time to really just serve those who were in the most emotionally desolate circumstances. So that's going to be a thrill ride. After that, we've got our buddy Larry Shower, a West Point grad, talks about how he experienced his faith during Desert Storm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he is such a servant here in the Archdiocese. What a witness of Christ's love he
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really, really going to be great. And then I think you have a special surprise for us as well.
I sure do. We have an encore presentation of Bob Spidell. He has a troop support ministry at Holy Cross in Atlanta, and he's going to be talking about that ministry and how we can actually help and serve. And if we have a member of the armed services or any forces, we can get their names on the list so they can actually get some neat care packages. So yeah, I can't wait to listen to that encore presentation as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it's really cool to hear all these people just share, one, not just the people that inspire them in their faith, but how they celebrated or were inspired by people who celebrated their faith in circumstances where it seemed like, you know, perhaps the sacraments would not be available. For instance, Larry talking about how they celebrated their faith, I think, in South Asia when they were in Desert Storm. There were no priests available, but every single person banded together on Easter, and they together had a Christian
prayer service. No, it's amazing.
Yeah, in the middle of the desert.
Yes.
And it's really, really cool to hear that story. So a lot of stuff coming at you to really help you embrace and cherish all that our heroic soldiers have done for us. And on the horizon, we are so excited to chat with Marine and Doug Newlands, parishioners at All Saints in Dunwoody. He's speaking about the upcoming virtual marriage encounter taking place June 6th and 7th.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:46, and I am delighted to have a special couple here in studio with us. I have Doug and Maureen Newlands. They are parishioners at All Saints Catholic Church in Dunwoody, and they have been married 43 years and have been involved with this beautiful ministry we're going to be talking about today, Worldwide Marriage Encounter. And I just learned it is Maureen's birthday today, so happy birthday, Maureen.
Thank you very, very much, and thank you for the invitation to be on the show.
Oh, no, we are delighted. I've had you on before talking about Worldwide Marriage Encounter. Last time it was actually going to be at a hotel environment, but this is a special time where this one is going to be a virtual marriage encounter taking place on the June 6th and 7th and the 8th too. Okay. And I know that many people are like, oh, we can't make it to specific locations, but this should be a game changer for many in regards to it being virtual.
It is reachable for anybody, anywhere, as long as they're willing to be on the Eastern time frame.
Yes, yes. So what is Worldwide Marriage Encounter for those that are not familiar with it?
Well, Worldwide Marriage Encounter is a ministry. It's dedicated to strengthening and renewing the sacraments of marriage and the holy orders. Marriage Encounter does this through offering experiences, and these are enrichments or workshops, if you will. It's typically over a weekend. And it allows the married couples to focus on each other and the relationship.
So what is a Worldwide Marriage Encounter experience?
Well, it's a weekend of discovery of yourself, your spouse, and God's presence in your marriage. The weekend starts on Friday night, and it ends around 4 p.m. on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The format is presented by three couples and a priest who comprise the presenting team. The presentations are shared experiences of the presenting team and include examples from their own lives and how they use a specific communication technique called dialogue to help them communicate more effectively. The topics revolve around issues that we all can relate to. At the end of every presentation, you're given a question to reflect on as it relates to your relationship. And during that reflection time, you're separate from your spouse, different rooms, to write down your thoughts and feelings about the question. There aren't any right or wrong answers. Mm-hmm. The questions are posed in a way that helps you just discover more about yourself and each other. And at the end of the reflection period, you meet in the privacy of your own room to read and discuss what you've written.
Mm, wow, that's fantastic.
No, it is. And again, with this being virtual, how is it going to be different?
Ah, well, the virtual experience is exactly the same presentation, but instead of being in person, it's presented by way of Zoom.
Yes.
To your computer and the comforts of your own home. So you need a computer with a camera and a speaker, plus a reliable internet connection and a quiet, distraction-free environment.
Yeah, we discovered the effectiveness of a virtual weekend experience during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Virtual weekends were the only ways that we could reach married couples. And we learned that it not only was well received, but it was highly effective in helping couples strengthen their marriage.
Mm, wow, that's great. So there are some advantages to it, you found. I guess I'm assuming the convenience factor.
Absolutely, there are.
And who is this for?
Well, let me just elucidate on the
advantages.
Advantages,
please.
Because often couples with children, they don't want childcare, or it's hard to find childcare overnight, or they have children that can't leave them.
Yes.
There are people with food allergies.
Social anxiety.
Oh, yes, yes.
They're immunocompromised, and they might find it easier and more convenient to be at home. People caring for aging parents. There are beloved pets that are aging, too. And there are all kinds of reasons mm-hmm. that the virtual experience really works for these people. Never mind not having to travel and the expense of travel. Mm-hmm. So,
wow.
Who is this for? We know married couples, but I know there are others that are welcome to join.
Well, it's for all married couples. Mm-hmm. You know, it's whether they've been married a short time or celebrating many years of marriage. It's like a tune-up.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I love that.
And anything that's valuable is worth keeping tuned up.
Yes.
But it's also for our priests. And the priests, I think the name Worldwide Marriage Encounter can be misleading, but our priests and religious are also a sacrament, married to the church, God's people, and they too go through their own ups and downs on the journey mm-hmm. and personally benefit from the communication technique taught on the weekend.
It could also help them when interacting with parishioners that they serve, you know, counseling couples or prepping them for marriage. They'll know how couples can stay close to one another and even during difficult situations, and that will come.
Wow, that's fantastic. And so what topics do you guys cover during this retreat?
Well, some of the key topics covered are the importance of feelings in our day-to-day lives and getting to know more about ourselves, personality styles and behaviors and how they affect our relationship. Other presentations include how we are subtly trained by what we saw in marriages around us when we were young, mm. and how this formed certain expectations of our own marriages. Yeah. When these expectations aren't met, we become disappointed. And in our disappointment, we tend to compensate by getting involved in our own activities, which lessens the time we have for each other. We've learned about areas in our marriage that we often avoid, which over time cause more distance in our relationship.
There was a presentation on listening that we learned how to identify obstacles to listening and how to listen with our hearts. We learned what God wanted for us in our relationship and what the true meaning of our sacrament is. We've heard about the importance of trust in our relationship. And through the presentations, we began to understand the depth of our love for one another.
No, that is so beautiful. So I would love to hear, what was your experience like? And I would love for each of you to share. Would you like to start, Maureen?
I would love to, because I signed us up for the retreat. And I signed up in order to fix Doug.
Which I'm sure many people want to try to do, right?
And in reality, I had a whole lot of fixing to do myself.
Look at that. Amen.
And so I think we now take 100% responsibility for the health of our relationship. Mm-hmm. We had a good marriage, but now I think we have a great one. So life is demanding, if mm-hmm. nothing more. And as we focused on our careers and raising our children and managing our household, our conversations had become more about those things, children's yeah. jobs, the list of yes. things to be done. And there was a lot of things going on inside of us that we weren't talking mm-hmm. about, issues that got pushed to the side, and our relationship got pushed to the end of the day. And mm-hmm. we were often very tired, and we didn't know how to approach certain problems and didn't want to sound like a broken record. Mm-hmm. And without realizing it, we settled into a routine and lost some of the vibrancy that our marriage had once had. And mm-hmm. we just wanted to make it shine
yes.
again. One of the biggest things I learned was that feelings are neither right or wrong. Even if it's a feeling I would rather not have. Mm-hmm. And the weekend provided a structure that I was able to express myself in areas that are difficult, so that with trust and confidence, we can discuss anything. Our relationship is more important than any issue we face.
Mm, that's so beautiful.
How about you, Doug?
It was just the right thing that we needed. Like Maureen said, we had a good marriage. We loved each other, and we worked at our relationship. And we worked at being good parents. But the weekend changed our relationship for the better, and it straightened us. It broke down barriers that kept us from being close and allowed us to be more present to each other. And it's difficult for me, and maybe a lot of men, to express emotions. The communications techniques that we learned leveled the playing field as kind of with a new, fun, constructive playbook. You know, it helped me get out of my own head so that Maureen wasn't left guessing to what was going on inside me. Okay, I'm sure we're not allowed to say this, but...
you're going to say it anyway?
I am. It's a key to intimacy, mm-hmm. both sexual yeah. and emotional. And that was the one thing that really the weekend focused on, is bringing back that unity. And I was swept away after the weekend. It really was wonderful.
Well, we are so grateful for your service to this amazing ministry and to couples who are helping, you are helping rediscover just the beauty of this just precious sacrament of marriage. We are so grateful for y'all.
Now, where can people get information about the cost, how to register? Where can they get that information?
WWME.org. /apply is where you can apply. The cost application fee for a virtual is $100.
Okay.
And that's the most important thing to know.
Excellent.
There will be a free will donation ask at the end.
Perfect.
Well,
perfect.
Thank you so much. We are so grateful for your service, and I know married couples are as well. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.